Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. What's the show called? What is this? The ad-free show, mailbag. Say it again.
Monday mailbag with Taylor and Jerry.
There you go. I'm Taylor. That's Jerry. How are you doing today, sir?
That's me. I'm Jerry. How you doing, Taylor? Thank you for being on your show again.
Thank you for being on my show. I appreciate it. I am a WWE Hall of Famer. I'm a legend. And it's great that, you know, I mean, it's great that people don't forget about me. But why? How could they? I'm Gerald Briscoe. Or am I Taylor?
What was your fame? Who kissed you?
I mean, who hasn't kissed me, honestly?
Well, I know they all want to kiss you, but you're on global TV and somebody kissed you on the cheek.
I kissed Heidi Klum on the mouth.
Okay, you kissed Heidi Klum on the mouth.
Have you ever done that?
I don't even know who Heidi Klum is. But if I did, I might, you know. I never know.
Listen, she's a German lady. You don't know German people, do you?
Well, I wouldn't go there, but, you know.
You ever kissed a lady from another country, Gerald? Before you were married, of course?
Before I was married, yeah. I lived in Australia for a year.
Did you kiss an Australian?
Right when I got out of college, my first international job was for Jim Barnett down in a land down under. And it was real funny, you know. I really don't have enough time for this story because we don't have enough time. We've been bitched at for not answering all the great fans. I want to thank everybody out there for the reaction you got. But we had so much reaction. Conrad got mad at me because I'm not answering enough questions. And I'm mad at Conrad because the damn guy won't give me and Taylor enough time to answer all your questions the right way.
I agree. I think that we should have a show where we don't just answer questions, don't you think?
Well, I want to answer questions. That's the heartbeat of our show, you know. So this damn ad-free show that Conrad makes all the money and you and I just sit here talking and, you know, we get the crumbs.
You know, we should go on strike. That's a popular topic right now. Should we
get fired again?
Are you going to get fired again? We should start a union against Conrad.
Yeah.
Listen, though, we do want to thank all the people. We got a lot of really nice tweets from the people listening saying they enjoyed the show. And it's really special that people want to – I mean, it's not a surprise, but people like hearing you talk about stuff. I think the people liked hearing your rambles, though. That's what they want to hear.
Well, I ramble. I am old, but I do have a tendency to ramble, and I just don't have enough time today because I've been cut short. You know, you ever been cut short? You know, little Professor Costanza, he'd stop short anyway.
Listen, what people need to know about Gerald Briscoe is that he loves...
Taylor, you old enough to remember that show, the Seinfeld show? Well, they run it on reruns of. The episode stopped short, you know, where he reaches out and as Kramer stopped short on Mrs. Costanza one time and he copped a feel.
Gerald loves Larry David and Seinfeld, and that's one more thing to love about Gerald Briscoe. And so the constructive criticism that we received from the fans is that the show is great. And the constructive criticism we receive from Dave Silva and Conrad is, answer more questions.
I don't mind answering the damn questions, but, you know, sometimes I hate answering the damn questions if you don't have enough time to answer the questions.
And you know what? To be fair, you answered
question. Who's the lucky guy for first question?
Listen, to be fair, though, you answered all the questions. I only asked a few, though, so it's my fault.
I can't ask you a
question. Okay, the answer to your question of who's the next question. forgive me for the mispronunciation. I don't know how to say this. I'm going to say it completely wrong. Kjartan Smari Ragnarsson. Did I say that right, Gerald?
You said it exactly like it's written.
How would you pronounce that?
Samaria Rajeskin.
What do you think he's from?
Sorry.
Iowa, maybe?
From Iowa, I doubt it.
What? KJARTAN, our friend, wants to know, any funny stories from being in Vince's house writing TV?
That's a great question, Samari. I'm just going to call you Samari if that's okay. And if it's not, it's Taylor's fault because he didn't give me the proper pronunciation. So.
That's fair.
Yeah, I a few stories from Vince's house. One of my favorite ones, they never would get me near the pool. The story was, they'd be talking to you and kind of walk you around where it's close to the pool. Then Vince or Bruce or Pat or somebody would push you in. But they never tried that trick on me for some reason. I'm pretty glad that they didn't, because I think somebody would have gone in with me on the water a little bit too long. So I was never subbed in the pool, so that's one thing I missed out on. But to get to Vince's house, you had to go through like 5 guard shacks, and that was always the question. Who are you? Well, I just told that guy down the road. Yeah, I told him, but you got to tell me now. So finally, we get up to Vince's house, and he had this Rolling Hills estate in Greenwich, Connecticut. And so we'd go back in the back, and in this nice pool patio, of course, damn Rolling Hill, and he'd have his yard crew come along. So Patterson was always late to these meetings because they always started late, so Pat would show up. Basically, he wanted to show up. So Pat showed up one time, the yard crew's there. So it's me, Vince, and Bruce, and I think JR is there. We already started booking the town to getting some idea for the TV shoot. And all of a sudden, the yard crew starts coming around poolside there. And Vince always hated that because of the noise. So, and Pat knew that, of course. So he, one of the yard crews, he goes over and he pulls out $20 and gives it to him and says, let me have your blower. So we go and we're sitting there. We're really getting focused. We're writing a pay-per-view or whatever. All of a sudden, this blower guy starts coming around. Pat's got on his hat and he got on sunglasses. He got his head down. And all of a sudden, he's waiting. Every time Vince would start talking, he would crank that blower up to his blowing everything. And then Vince would stop talking, and Pat would turn the blower down, not have it full gas. And Bruce and I would talk, and we'd be talking about our ideas that we wanted to do. Then all of a sudden, Vince would pass it back to Vince. Vince would start, there goes the deal. So finally, the blower guy gets right behind us now, and then Pat's got his head there. I got that blower going full speed. Vince starts talking. Vince clung, and Pat's got his head down. Vince just takes a swipe, hits the top of it. He wasn't trying to hit the guy, just, get his attention a little bit. Pat kind of leaned on to it because the ball cat goes over. Pat looks up, and it Pat blew on the blower. Everybody cracks up, starts laughing, except Vince. Vince is the only one that didn't think it's funny. All he said, get your ass over here, let's go to work. But me and Bruce and JR, whoever else was there, we all got a good laugh on it. But, we always tried to break the monotony. We always had a lot of dead time because Vince would get these phone calls and business calls, and he'd have to go in the house. We'd sit out on the patio and crack jokes about Vince, about some of the ideas that he come up with. And I probably shouldn't be saying this on TV, but we'd make fun of him for all of his little, idiosyncrasies that he has out there.
Great. Next question from Justin O'Hella. I'm just reading the script. If Mr. McMahon sees this, I'm just reading this question, okay? I'm just the messenger, okay? How was it when Vince shit his pants? I have nothing to do with this question.
There you have that question. It's like, one thing I never had to do. I never had to join that Kiss My Ass Club. I was so glad of that. So, but I was around.
Me neither.
Where Vince would soil his pants, and it wasn't very pleasant because back in those days, I imagine still today, the stuff that Vince puts in his body, you know, animals put in their bodies, you know, the proteins, those vitamins, I mean, and they when you pass gas, they make your body smell. And Vince was always taking these, I mean, he would carry around a separate suitcase with all his vitamins in it, and each one of them had a specific purpose, and he knew exactly what when it was to take. We'd be right in the middle of an important talk, conference, and all of a sudden he'd look down at his watch. So, excuse me, he'd go get his little bag out with his vitamin B's and vitamin E's and all that stuff. Start taking all of his vitamins while we're there. Then he'd get rolling and he'd pass some gas and Mr. McMahon's gas is something you don't want to smell after he's intaked about 50 pills of vitamins.
Well, you kind of dodged the question, I'll be honest, but you're keeping your friendship strong, so I respect that.
I said his gas stunk, so I would imagine his poop wasn't too pleasant either. And you know, I got to tell this story. Once again, they get me into this situation. Justin, it is Justin, right?
This is Justin.
Okay. We're doing booking again. This time we're at Patterson's house, and they knew I have that reflux where I throw up really easy on foul smells and foul sights, and just the visualization of my mind is when I see that stuff. It's not a pleasant visualization, and I have trouble saying it because it bothers me so damn much. So, like I said, Vince takes all these things, and it's poop sometimes was not exactly the most solid poop in the world. But I got a story later on that I could tell that I used to play on him, but he never figured out it was me. And it pretty soon they had to put signs up at the TV, do not go in Vince's office. But I would always sneak in there because I'm Jerry Briscoe. And nobody would ever say anything. It was the things I would do back in retaliation. We'll get to in another episode if we're fortunate enough to make another episode. So anyway, so we're at Patterson now. Let me get back to the main question here. You know, you got me rambling here. And you're trying to ask me a question. Are you going to stop me? What are you saying there, Taylor?
I'm just in shock and awe right now.
Shock and awe. That one's not said by a famous president. Anyway, so we're at Patterson's house. So I go in, I take a leak, you know, we're taking a bathroom break, and so Vince goes first, you know, when we take a bathroom break. So I can't hold it anymore. He's in there 20, 30 damn minutes. So, him and Bruce and Pat had this all planned out. Now, to plan this, it takes a sick mind, you know, and then the group that I just mentioned, the four of us, we come up with some sick things, and it takes a longer show to tell us. So anyway, he goes in first. He takes care of his business. So I'm holding. I gotta go to the bathroom. I got to pee bad. So as soon as he comes down, of course, I'm push Patterson and Bruce out of the way. I'm going in. Mistake. I go in there and Vince knew I would be the next in line because I had to pee so bad, so he didn't flush the toilet. So I go in there, and it's one of those little hall room, broom closet type bathrooms that are in the big houses. You know, they have 18 baths, but some of them like a damn broom closet where all it's got is a urinal and a place to wash your hand. I guess they call it a quarter bathroom, right? And up in the northeast up there where all those famous rich people live, like Vince. Patterson had a house right outside Vince's there. So I walk in, and I turn, and I lift the damn lid up, and I look down, and there's what he left behind. And I start gagging. I kick the damn door open, and, of course, they're all three of them. They're standing there waiting for me to charge out of there. And I'm gagging. I head straight out the room there, and I'm starting to to spew my vomit up everywhere. And they're just laughing at me like, okay, this is everything. This was they picked on me all the time like that because they knew I was easy, you know, and I'm a nice guy and I wouldn't get violent with them. But it was an awful smell. So that was a long question, a long answer to a short question, and I hope, Justin, that you emphasize what I had to go through. And there are other cases, but that's for another story and another question and another time.
My question, follow-up question is, you don't have to tell me more stories, but how many Vince poop stories do you think you have? Like, could there be a whole podcast just for that?
Have a poop story. Those vitamins, because I took a lot of vitamins myself, and they do make you go to the bathroom a lot, you know. So there's poop stories. I mean, there's poop stories I can take. And there's poop stories I refuse to tell because I still today get gagged by them. So I'm not going to tell some of them still today that I, you do not want to see me throw up on them. What is this? Monday mailbag by Taylor and Jerry.
Listen,
free network too, I should say.
I don't want to throw up either, Gerald. I'm just saying.
Do you throw up easy, Taylor?
I faint. I'm fainty.
I threw up when May passed the hand, that little handy there.
Did you really?
You know, and so I threw up a lot. Stephanie used to make me throw up, Big Show, and Ed's one of the nicest young men I've ever had the pleasure, one of the brightest young men I've ever had the pleasure. They talked him into coming up to Gorilla, where I'm wired up. You know, I got the headsets on, I got the microphone on, to Vince, to Kevin Dunn, to the referee, to security, to backstage, all over. You know, from that Gorilla, where I got, you know, people tell you what to do, so you got to give directions to all these people. So they even talked Edge into coming up, and he had saved this particular thing for me and wanted to show it to me, and it was the entire tip of his finger, something was on there, and I'm not going to tell the punchline until I get asked a damn question.
Oh man,
everybody at Frisco throw up when I was wired, and they knew I couldn't chase after them because I had to stand there and stay keep track of the show. So they would trap me at Gorilla, and then everybody picked on poor old Briscoe.
Gerald, you should call HR right now.
HR wasn't a big thing back in those days. I wish it was, because I probably owned 3/4 of that damn company.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Somebody, please, for the love...
Statutation on harassment like that. I mean, it wasn't sexual or physical or anything. I guess it was physical, though. It wasn't, you know, I don't know. I don't know the HR rules, but.
Somebody please write ask the question for a future episode. What was on Edge's finger? I don't want to know, but I want to know. You know what I mean? Okay. Brian Florio wants to know, who gave you an... That's a good name. Wait, what's that?
That's an easy name for you, Brian Florio.
That's a much easier name for me to say, but it's not a better name. There's no better or worse names.
No better name. Taylor's are not a better, a good name.
Taylor's,
no, but not a better.
Taylor is a better name, actually.
Okay. What's your name again?
I'm Taylor. It's a great name. It's actually the best name, honestly. Gerald's pretty good.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
I'm only saying that so.
Like for Jerry with a G, Jerry with a J, Gerald. I had all those names, you know.
There's a lot of cool stuff.
It's funny, kind of the morphosis of my name. I started out, you know, in Oklahoma as just good old Gerald Briscoe. I come to Florida. Eddie Graham decides he wants to team me up with my brother Jack, but he comes to me and says, Gerald's just too formal of a name. Jack and Gerald just doesn't seem to mix very well. So he said, how about Jerry? And I said, I don't care. Just, you know, book me. He said, you're Jerry now, J and J, Jack and Jerry, you know, well, two J's. I was like, okay, great, I'm Jerry Briscoe. That's when I turned into Jerry Briscoe. I had Jerry Briscoe forever with a J. So then when we go to New York to compete, we're against Murdoch and Adonis up in New York at WWF at the time. Vince changed my name to Jerry Briscoe with a G. And I never understood. I asked one time, I said, well, Gerald starts with a G, so you're Jerry with a G. So I said, okay, I'm Jerry Briscoe with a G. And then all my friends, you know, that I knew there that know me for a long time, I was still Gerald, though. So everybody started calling me Gerald, and pretty soon Vince and everybody, all my friends, everybody started calling me Gerald. So I went full circle from Gerald, then I went to two Jerry, then I went back to Gerald. So what was the damn question I was supposed to answer?
The question was, how was it when Vince shot his pants?
I didn't answer that question.
I mean, you told a story about him pooping in a toilet, and you told a story about him farting a lot, but you never talked about him shitting his pants, and you dodged the question, and we're going back to that one, actually.
Oh, boy, it feels like interrogation here by Taylor Wynn, Deputy Taylor Wynn. Just the facts, kid, just the facts. Okay, how was it when Vince McMahon sold his pants? It was pretty damn pleasant. How about that?
It was very pleasant?
It was, what do you mean?
That's what I heard.
No, it was not very pleasant.
That's a fair answer. Would you like to go on, or do you want to go to the next question?
We don't have enough damn time. Taylor, you're getting me in trouble again. We're not going to answer enough questions. We will get fired from this job. How many jobs can we get fired from?
You know? Listen, so Gerald.
I answered the question. I answered that question. Come on.
Listen, now I'm going to get in trouble for not getting answers out of you. You don't, Taylor, you don't ask enough questions. Taylor, you're not getting answers. I'm trying to keep my job. All right, next question. Next question.
Okay, next question.
Chris White and two other people asked the same question. Oh, no, wait. Brian Florio. We skip Brian Florio.
Didn't answer Brian. Brian's a nice guy.
He's a good guy. He's doing the best he can with what he has, and he's doing a great job.
Hey, during these days and times, you know, you're doing a good job. You're doing a good job. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Brian wants to know, who gave you and Pat the name the Stooges?
That's Brian. That's a great question. You know, if you think back, the first time we appeared with Vince, we were Vince McMahon's associates. That was the proper corporate name, the Associates, you know. And as we went along and the gimmick kind of grew and grew and grew, it just kind of evolved. And everybody was in the production meeting, you know, we'd refer to them sort of as the Stooges. And everybody was scared to death to call me and Pat, because Pat, you know, Pat, the power that Pat had and the knowledge and everybody wanted to work with Pat, so nobody wanted to upset Pat. Me, they just didn't want to risk me grabbing them by the damn arm or by the elbow or something like that. But one day we're in a meeting and Cornette used to joke about it all the time, and so they were writing a show, and all of a sudden Vince Russo looks up and says, Stooges. And everybody kind of laughs and looks at me like, how am I going to respond? And he looked and he said, do you guys have a problem with that? And I said, I looked at Pat and I'll answer for Pat. I said, I don't have a problem with it. I kind of like it, you know, because it's kind of opposite of what we were there. So I got to give Vince Russo credit. And then it kind of went, it kind of got out where we became the Stooges there. But it was still a kind of a mixed bag in the early days between Associates and Stooges, and we basically started being Stooges.
And like, is this somebody? Did you ever refer to yourselves as the Stooges, or was it just Did we ever introduce as the Stooges? How did the name get put into that? Did Jerry Lawler call you guys that or what?
Oh, I mean, Jerry Lawler on TV. I mean, Jim Ross never did. But Jerry Lawler had a ball with it. And even Jerry came up and asked me if it's okay for him to refer to us on TV as a Stooges, because he was sitting in the same production meetings with Pat and I. And I said, I have no problem with it. I think it's kind of funny. So, especially the way Lawler kind of handled it. You know, in the beginning, you know, Pat really didn't like it. Pat really didn't like being a stooge in the beginning. You know, it kind of, I used to rib the hell out of Pat. Now, Pat, we worked our entire careers, you know, in the ring trying to be, you know, representative of our business. You know, good athletes, good performers in the ring, and respected. Now, after all that work and two shows, we've turned into damn corporate stooges. Oh, I'm going banana over it. You know, I mean,
cool.
So, Pat liked it in the beginning, but now, you know, sometimes I do these meet and greets with him, and he says, hey, he wins stooges, you know, he likes it.
Yeah, you're over. So Chris White wants... What's up?
Still over.
You're still hashtag still over. We gotta get some of those t-shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees, huh?
What, still over?
I think so.
You know, you've been saying you're gonna handle that for years now, for almost a year. Oh, I'll handle it, Bricio. But I can Taylor, we need to. Are we allowed to say this because it's an ad-free show?
It's not an ad. We're just having a conversation.
ACDC shirt on, back in black, man.
Check out ACDC
shirt on today. I got my friend at Rudis sent me this shirt.
We're sponsored by ACDC today.
ACDC, back in black, baby.
Your neck's doing better, I see.
You know, it is, but you know, every once in a while I get a pain in my neck when I talk to you and I need my break. I think I got it all upside down, but
listen, you're beautiful with and without.
Ace made a living out of wearing a damn cast, so I'm just trying to imitate another living legend, you know.
Who is
Cowboy
that?
Ace Bob.
Oh, Cowboy Ace Bob Orton.
Yeah.
Respect. Did you talk to him? Huh?
But son, he keeps sneaking in my damn house and doing illegal things to me.
Listen, if you guys don't know what we're talking about, you need to check out Briscoe's big announcement. Look up hashtag Briscoe's big announcement on Twitter. Subscribe to Gerald's YouTube channel. Check him out on Instagram at TheFGBriscoe and Twitter FGBriscoe. And you can see these. It's very hard. It's sad because Gerald has a really big announcement that he's been waiting to give to everyone. And every week he gets interrupted and Randy Orton beat him up a couple times.
Joseph there.
Wait, hey. Who's that?
That's Joseph, the architect.
It's Joe I thought the architect was Seth Rollins.
Bad free show, but you can get your tropical plants at, and they're all legal too, by the way. At where, Joe?
TheChacrunaStore.com.
How do you spell that?
TheChacruna store.com.
This isn't an ad, though. This is ad-free shows. This is not an ad. This is just we're letting you know.
Famous, you get out here now.
He's a great man. His hands looked kind of like the Mr. Sacco's hand. That's a coincidence, right?
That's a total coincidence. Mick Foley, I don't know how he got. You know, I was at the comedy club and. I don't know how he got in my house, because I went to visit him at the comedy club and we left and said, they'll see you down the road. And I didn't know how soon it was going to be. And the next night he snuck in my house. Beware of the night creatures.
I think you need to get some better locks on your door, buddy. No offense.
I do too. Don't give out too many keys.
Maybe that's your problem. You gave a key to every person you've ever met, and then they're not even breaking in. You go to court, and you're like, Your Honor, they broke into my house. Then he's like, they're like, how did you break in, Randy Orton? He's like, he gave me a key. And he said, come over whenever you want. I don't know. It's a rough, it's a hard case.
I don't expect them to take you up on the offer. I mean, how many times, hey, I'll give you a call. How many times have you told you why you're giving? I got no damn intention on giving that guy a call.
Everyone check out Briscoe's big announcement. If you have any advice for how Gerald, I wish there was an opportunity for you to give your big announcement, but like now's not the right time. Don't you think this is not an appropriate time?
No, it's Mailbag Monday. We got to ask, answer questions. Well, I'm not here to tell my story. I'm Bob Big Announcement, but I'm here to answer these wonderful people out there listening to us. Answer their questions.
But this Wednesday, you're going to give your big announcement on Twitter, though, right?
I hadn't made up my mind if it's going to be this day Wednesday. But hey, if it is, it'll happen tonight at 9 o'clock.
Gerald, good save, Gerald. Just kayfabe. You are going to... listen, I guess that works.
Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. I mean, come on, what else you want me to say? My big announcement, Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. Now ask me questions so they're not hollering at me again.
Okay. So Chris White and a couple other people wanted to know, I need to hear what he thought of the evening gown match at King of the Ring 2000. How did that pitch sound like from Vince?
I hated it. And I blame Michael Hayes for that and for coming up with the idea. But I'm going to flash forward. I told you I hated it, so I'm just going to flash to the actual match, sitting in the dressing room. Now, we have, you know, kind of different dressing room there. In those days, you know, I was part of the office, so I had another dressing room. And some of the guys, some of the upper guys like Undertaker, Triple H, and Michaels, and some of them would come into our dressing room. So I'm sitting on the bench getting ready, and I'm getting my pantyhose on, you know, and and what a weird feeling that is. I feel sorry for women having to dress after going through that thing. And I did something that night that I thought I'd never asked a man to do in my life.
What's that?
I was sitting next to Triple H, Hunter, better known as Paul Levesque, now the COO of our company, of the WWE now, a pretty high, powerful man. And so, but at that time, he was still Hunter, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting, and I looked over to him, I said, Hunter, would you do me a favor? And he said, well, it depends. You know, I'm about half dressed and drag. And he said, what is it? I said, I'm going to ask you to do something I never thought I'd ask a man to do in my life. He said, what's that? I said, would you fasten my bra? And he said, of course I would. Like he had experience at it. And I turned around and he fastened my bra and I stuffed some cotton. He helped me stuff cotton in. I said, are they even now? Take a fill level. Make sure they're even. So he's filling my boobs out and my cotton out, making sure this one, you need to add a little bit in this one here. Well, make this one up here. It's a little low. Push it up. So Paul and Triple H is sitting there in Boston, his hometown, helping me get my bra looking right. So when I go out in front of those millions and millions of fans out there, that my boobs look balanced out, you know. So I owe that all to Triple H.
Wow.
And I hated it. Pat hated it. Pat kind of liked dressing like that for some reason, but I hated it.
I hated it. Pat hated it. Pat kind of liked it.
And I tell you what, you know, I was helping coach a high school wrestling team at the time. And me walking in with my son was embarrassed as hell. His old man dressing like a woman on TV pay-per-view. So we had a big tournament somewhere, and so we had to walk into this high school gymnasium, and I could see all the kids over there pointing. Hey, look at their coach. That guy dressed up like a girl. And all my wrestlers, especially my son, they're all getting mad when they beat up everybody at the damn gym, you know. Which I call them a woman. They were my bodyguards, you know.
So okay.
They were great. It was a fun time. And our fans out there, they're coming up with some tremendous questions. And, you know, they're questions that I haven't talked about and things like that. So I really appreciate the creativity of everybody listening to us out there.
Gerald, you're a legend. I have 100 questions right here, and I'm sure there's a million more that they could ask. Let's get to them. Michael Amend says, yes. I don't know what that means. Gerald, was the highlight of your career the evening gown match with Pat Patterson? Thoughts on winning the hardcore title?
I don't understand the question, but winning the hardcore title was a lot more enjoyable than doing the evening gown match.
Tell me what you were telling me off. Tell me what you were telling
me.
The question was, well, I don't know if he's being glib or not, but he says, was the highlight of your career the evening gown match?
No, it was not.
Oh, good answer. Tell us about your kids.
Who was that that asked that question anyway? Oof. What a stupid ass question. Chris?
That's Michael. We like Chris. That was Michael.
Michael, hey, dumbass.
Tell me about your kids, what they would do when you came home with a hardcore championship. What would happen when you came home with that thing?
It was quite interesting. When I come home with a hardcore title, you know, I had to defend it 24/7, and so my kids, I got an easy chair. You know, you come back from the road or anything, I'd sit back in that easy chair and I'd start dozing off, and all of a sudden I'd feel somebody coming over the top of me. Both my kids were trying to beat me and win the hardcore championship. I think both of them won it a couple of times, and it's not down in history. And I think we should go back and rewrite history. You know, we're rewriting history and a lot of stuff, but I'm not going to get political here, but the hardcore championship, probably the biggest thing we should rewrite. And won the hardcore championship. I certified them both. They both took the exam and studied hardcore. They both took the exam and passed the WWE exam. They could go 1, 2, 3. You got your license. You got the WWE license. I was authorized at that time under the offices of Gerald Briscoe to declare them legal referee, so they'd take turn being a referee and take turn being a champion.
That's amazing. So Wes and Joe Briscoe are both former WWF hardcore champions.
Yeah, we're probably the only family to have 3 members to win that hardcore championship.
Wow.
That's a little WWE trivia question that they're missing out on every time.
Someone's got to call Dave Meltzer and talk to him about this.
Dave who?
Meltzer?
Dave Mitchell?
Oh, I thought... call Dave Mitchell, too. He sounds like a nice guy.
Dave Mitchell, he's a good guy.
I don't know who these people are. I think some of these ad-free shows people have some sick minds. I got to be honest with you, Gerald, okay? I'm just reading.
Who?
Some of these people have some dirty questions. Yeah, put that neck brace on for this next one.
You know, I'm under all these big spotlights. I'm a movie star now, so I got all these spotlights going on.
We don't want you to get hurt, Gerald. Keep your neck brace on. And careful with your eyes, too, okay? Beautiful eyes. We don't want them to get hurt. Raymond Richard wants to know, I'm just reading a question. Were there stains on Pat Patterson's tighty whities a work or a shoot?
Well, I always wondered that myself.
Well, there you go.
Well, I mean, with Pat, you never really knew. I'd say 50-50, they're real and Hershey bars. You know? I think He did use a Hershey bar when he did the Rikishi stink face on Crash or Holly or Bob Holly or whichever Holly it was.
It was officially a Hershey bar.
Well, it could have been. I don't know. I mean, but like, and this is the truth. I don't know which time Pat had the real ones on and which time he had, because they all looked the same to me. He'd take them to Magic and tell the Magic man, you know, fix my drawers. He's Pat, they don't need fixed. They're already fixed.
Well, you know what? At first, I thought Raymond was a disgusting human being, and now I'm so happy because that was my favorite question. How did that happen?
I don't know. Who's Raymond?
Raymond's the guy who asked you about Pat's poopy pants.
Thank you for asking that question, but I'm giving you an honest answer, and I don't know half the time. I mean, Pat, you know, he's a Frenchman. I can't tell you any more than that. Anything was possible with Pat Patterson. With Pat, you know, it was so great traveling with a guy like Pat Patterson. Pat was the funniest guy on the road. He had the jokes, but once you learned his routine of joke, I could sit here and we could do like a 3-hour Bruce Pritchard, maybe 4-hour Bruce Pritchard, on just Pat Patterson's jokes that he would repeat week after week after. Hey, Taylor, guess who told me to tell you hello?
Who told you to say hello?
Nobody. And of course, we'd all go banana.
I love it. That's funny and sad for me, but it's funny for everyone else. I'm sad now, Gerald.
I'm sorry. Well, that's what Pat Patterson would make you do.
That's funny. He's a funny guy. You guys are funny guys. I gotta say, on behalf of all the wrestling nerd fans, I get to speak on behalf of them. It's so cool how funny you are. I love finding out that people I loved growing up are like kind and care about others and good people and all that stuff. But you're so funny, and it's cool. Who are the funny?
I appreciate that, Taylor. You know, I just, you know, I guess I was always like this because my son, they say I was funny when they were young, and my sister always says, you know, you always try to be funny when you're a kid. So I just take the attitude. You know, when you come up, you don't have a lot. You make do with what you got, and you get a good sense of humor, and you just don't take yourself so damn serious, you know. And every day, and when you do, it's such a blessing to get things and have a good sense of humor. So it just makes life a hell of a lot easier when you go around laughing instead of feeling sorry for yourself.
Yeah, dude, you're honestly like such a positive dude throughout things you've been through and what we're all going through right now. And you're such a bright light for me, and you're providing that for other people getting to hear all these poop stories. So we appreciate Gerald Brisch. I appreciate you, and all these wrestling fans appreciate you. Just a side note there.
Yeah, but if we answer their questions, they'll appreciate us more.
Exactly. So with that said, Chip Maxey wants to know, during your VKM Stooge run, what was the wackiest suggestion written for you and Pat to do that didn't make it in front of the camera?
You know me, I got to ask you all the time, what's LOL stand for, what's IDK stand for, what was those first three letters, what did they stand for?
VKM. What do you think VKM is? What do you think it stands for?
VKM.
V as in Victor.
V as in Victor.
Yeah.
I don't have a clue.
What's VKM? It's wrestling. What do you think it is?
Biggest moment.
Who do you think VKM is? Victoria.
Oh, Victoria VKM. I don't know.
Who? It's Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Oh, I know VKM.
It's inside.
Vincent McMahon.
Excuse me. I said it wrong.
Do you?
Say it one more time.
Mr. McMahon, do you?
Yes, sir. Yeah, these jabronis think they can call him VKM when we should only be calling him Mr. McMahon.
Hey, who are you going to call him VKM? I mean, I don't even call him. I call him Mr. McMahon. You know, that's his name, Mr. McMahon. He's the damn CEO of a global empire.
Don't go around
VKM. I mean, what kind of respect? Hey, VKM, come here. You know, I mean, hey, VKM, how's your poop flying today? You know? I'm CEO of a global company.
Well, why can you
call... Little respect.
Do you call him Mr. McMahon in real life?
Well, yeah, I'm always in real life.
But, like, if you call him up tomorrow, do you call him Vince?
It depends on what the situation is. It depends on what I want. That's it. Hey, Vince, how you doing, my friend? You know, but if it's been, hey, Mr. McMahon, you know.
Let's do some role-playing here, okay?
Only VKM, though.
Let's test
it. Except else.
Let's try, I'm going to do a role-play, okay? I'm Vince McMahon, and you're Gerald. You're calling me because you want to see if I watched the Tampa Bay game. But I want to know what you call me, okay?
Oh, this is a social call. Hey, Vince, how you doing today? Hey, man, did you happen to see that Tampa Bay game? We beat the hell out of Carolina. I know that's your home state, one of your home states in Carolina. We just beat the hell out of your Carolina Panthers there. I'm sorry, Mr. McMahon, I didn't mean to upset you.
Listen, I can't even top that. That's amazing. You're amazing. Okay, that's so funny. I was trying to think of what would Vince McMahon say. Like, I gotta go poop. Damn it. I don't know. Okay, listen.
Get my Crisco.
What's that?
He'd want his coffee. Get my coffee.
You get my coffee.
You know that I used to put in his coffee. I mean, it wouldn't. I probably can't. I shouldn't tell you. I shouldn't even say that, but. Maybe that's the reason he was pooping so much, the stuff I'd put in his coffee.
What'd you put in his coffee?
I can't tell you.
Maybe he'll call HR if he finds out.
I hope not.
Okay. So, listen.
I'd put my... Sometimes I just twist it around, you know, make sure everything would make sense.
Ew.
I like how you today where I'm before that though.
Gerald, you guys were a bunch of juvenile delinquents,
and that's what made it so damn fun back in the Attitude Era, wasn't it? We were all a bunch of juvenile delinquents. I mean, that's the attitude. That was the attitude. You know, we're all grown up. We're trying to be funny.
You're trying.
Next.
You never answered this one though. Chip Maxey wants to know what was the wackiest suggestion for the Stooges that never got put through?
Oh, well, there were a lot of things that never went through, but one of the things I thought it would actually kill me. I said, you guys are going to kill me if you do this one here. We're out in Seattle, Washington, and we're at the building, and the building's out at the fairground. They just finished the fair. And there was a bunch of cattle poop and horse poop there. And, of course, we're doing a thing with Stone Cold Steve Austin. They wanted to do a deal where Stone Cold got us, trapped us, being me and Patterson, the Stooges, and had us horse tied, you know, like a cowboy when you do the calf rope and then you tie them up and you throw your hand up and you got under 8 seconds or whatever. So Stone Cold was going to tie us up like calves, throw us in the back of his pickup truck, and go get a damn loader and stick it in there. And I had this big mound of old dried up cow and horse poo, and drive that front end loader, pick up a big scoop of that, and dump it over in the damn bed of the truck where Pat and I was at. They gave that to me, and I said, no way am I going to do that. Lee, you got to. I said, no way am I going to do that. And, well, we can take care of. How in the hell are you going to take care of me on a front end loader dumping 2 pounds of crap, you know? And they did the deal, the poop deal from the ceiling on Mr. McMahon one time, and he came in through the damn jacket, and that stuff. You had to, in those days, you had to make stuff look so realistic and be so realistic that they even had a smell to it. So the people in the audience, when they dropped it down on this. But anyway, they were going to do that same trick, only Pat and I were going to be laying in this damn horse trailer tied like a damn baby steer, you know, with three of her feet tied, you know, just kicking that one foot there. And if Stone Cold come and dump that front end loader, had to be a ton of damn old dried up cow poop and horse poop from the fair into the back of the bed of the pickup truck. And we'd be underneath it. And by the end of the show, we'd dug our way out. And I totally refused to do that one.
What were you saying about the smell?
It smelled awful.
Oh, yeah.
No, but they had ingredient to the stage poop that made it smell like real poop.
So, wait, that's what I thought you said.
Pardon?
That's what I thought you said. Why would they do that?
To make it realistic, so when the people in the audience say, well, that's real poop, you know, because it smelled like it, you know, instead of stage poop.
What is stage poop?
It's fake poop. Well, this was fake poop, but it had the smell of real poop.
Where do you get that stuff?
What, fake poop?
Where do you get the fake poop?
We had a magic man. We go to a magic. His name was Rich. Rich, make a Sith. And within 10 minutes, this guy would be magic, and he would make us whatever we needed.
And how would he get the poop smell?
And perfume. How much cologne that you had on your live show here in Tampa that I had to smell?
Hey, careful. Careful, Gerald. Take it back. Tell them I smell nice.
That night you did.
Thank you. That sounds kind of weird, but we'll go with it. Gerald telling people I smell nice. Okay. Let's see. That's amazing that Vince was into... He cared so much about the audience that he wants to make sure that they smell the poop and they don't think it's fake.
You know, that's what makes that company what it is, though, Taylor, is they care about the fans. I mean, there's a lot of fans out there write trash. You know, they don't care about us, but that's so totally wrong. Vince listens to the fans. He really does. He bases a lot of his storyline on how the reaction and what was important and what really don't get a lot of credit with the fans is the house shows that we had back then. That's when you really experimented with a lot of different things, and the talent would experiment with something that, you know, it would be completely goofy, and they'd come and present it to creative guys like Bruce and other writers and Corny and Russo and Dave and all those. And it was up to those guys then to take those ideals that they're doing house shows and make them TV worthy and make them TV clean where we could do them and everything. But we listened to fans during that attitude era like crazy. And nowadays with no house shows, there's no fans really to listen to. And you can't go by what they're typing on those damn keyboards nowadays, as you know. We're all insane when we get behind a damn keyboard, including me.
I love that you just said Vince cared about the fans so much. Here's proof of him caring about the fans. He wanted to make sure that they all smelled poop.
And someone would get splashed with it. Where'd you go? And I went to wrestle, man. Oh, you smell like shit.
Ew.
And then he'd come back in the back and take his jacket off and throw the damn jacket at me, so I'd start regurgitating all over the damn set in the back of the gorilla position.
Because he cared about you.
It smelled like that. It smelled what it was supposed to be. It smelled like it was supposed to be that.
But he cared about you. He wanted to make sure you smelled it.
Same thing that even some of the production guys used to do back in the back. You know, when we get lucky enough, and that damn cheap ass contract gives us enough damn time. You know what it was like to work that gorilla position. I mean, the different things you had to do, the different ribs. I mean, you're stuck back there. I mean, from the show at 1 o'clock rehearsing, and we go right up to bell time rehearsing, then 2-3 hour show that we had. But you know, the smoke, you smelt that oxide smoke that they shoot on stage. It's not the nicest smell. We're in a little bitty confine called the gorilla position, and Jason, the production manager, knows my reflux problem too. He'd have the guys go with those damn plastic hose and shoot it up through the bottom of those grates into the gorilla position, where there'd be so much smoke in there and stuff that you couldn't see in front of you. And we're doing a damn live show at this time. But everybody's playing tricks. I mean, even production people. But it was such a great work environment that, you know, you just look at it, hey, it's just another fun night, you know, and it was.
I can't wait to get into that stuff. I have so many questions I've never heard answers to about all that behind the scenes stuff. Look at you, you're like, I got the answers. I'm Gerald Briscoe.
I loved it, man.
There's four people.
Bruce wasn't the only one. I've listened to his marathon damn shows, and you know, if you're listening to this ad free show, you probably get a little snippet or two, and that's just a snippet. But Bruce loved it when they picked on me, because I used to kick his ass all the time. So when somebody picked on me, he knew he was safe. So, we had a ball backstage. I mean, you know, we had to just to release the tension sometimes. I mean, things would go right. You look over the table next to you, the boss would give me that glare like, what the hell, fix it, you know. Not only to me, but to the writers and to the production team. And I mean, it was never a place where you felt unsafe, but it was always a place where you better be aware of everything said and everybody around you, because you never knew who the next funny guy was gonna be.
So it's not that you didn't feel safe; is that you never felt unsafe? You never felt. You always felt unsafe.
For my life.
There you go. I wasn't scared for my life, but I was scared all the time.
Basically.
There you go, the healthy atmosphere. All right, I think we have time for two more questions. Nick Mills wants to know a lot of questions on this topic. Does Gerald still have his evening gown from his match with Pat Patterson?
When I retired, I got me a 55-gallon drum, and I put that evening gown match in there, and I poured gasoline on it. And since I had a marathon, and I did a war dance around the Native American war dance around the drum as it went up, and I sent smoke signals to Stamford, Connecticut. There's your day. But there was a storm between here and Stanford, and the smoke signal didn't read right by the time it got to Stanford.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah.
Listen, that's my new favorite answer.
Windy days play hell for smoke signals. You know, for the Google app, smoke signals, deciphering smoke signals.
There is one, or there should be one?
No, we should come up with one.
Let's do it.
On the damn map, I mean, and on. Now, we wouldn't do $9.99. You know, that'd be copied. But we might go the 99. Now, if we just go 99 cents, you know, that'd be good.
I go $99.
For a damn smoke signal app, I don't think we'd give them any buys. But if you got one buy, it'd be $99.
See, that's how I'm thinking. We only need like 10 subscribers. I can pay my rent.
Yeah, you and your cousin Moses, you guys make me do strange things.
Listen, out of context, Gerald, these sentences sound weird. I'm just letting you know.
Okay, are weird.
One day, that's true. One day they'll learn about cousin Moses. All right, one last question. Michael Barrett How fun was it to film the Stooge stuff with Pat during the Attitude Era? I bet there were a lot of times you had to stop and start over due to cracking up.
Working with Pat, like I said before, it was so much fun, and there were so many times that not only we would crack up, but the producers and the directors would crack up, and in the middle of it, we were doing something so goofy, you know, and some of it, you know, I'd like to say, but yeah, it happened multiple times where we just have to stop. But you know, also we did a lot of it live, and so we couldn't stop. We just had to keep going, and sometimes we're biting our lip, you know, trying to keep from cracking up, and so yeah, it was hard when you were live, but when we do the tape shows, I mean, it was. We knew we could crack up then, and even Vince, you know, he'd crack up. And one time I'm opening the damn envelope, and FedEx, he's open that envelope, Briscoe. Yes, sir, Mr. McMahon. I open it. As I'm opening, I get a damn razor cut there. I said, oh, a razor cut, there's blood, you know. And I licked my damn head, he'd crack. Yeah, not there. We can't do that. You know, Vince, we're on tape, you know.
Did you ever? So,
there were a lot of little things like that went by the wayside, you know, that we get a laugh of. And when Pat was in the women's dressing room smoking a cigarette, I mean, there's so many stories about Pat and the cigarettes that we'd like to get into, but we really can't get into them because of the time limitation. They're on us to answer the questions, but damn, Conrad, listen to your people out there. Like we said, Vince listened to his people. The people are demanding, they want to hear these stories in detail. They just don't want to hear little snippets that you're allowing me to do. So ask another question so we can get the heat on Conrad.
Well, listen, I think we're going to wrap it up. So, Gerald, what you're trying to say is that you think the fans deserve a long-form show where you can get into the details on each of these subjects. Is that what you're saying?
I think the fans do, but I don't know if I want to do it.
Listen, let's stop there. I just want to say to any fans listening, I get it. I'm the jabroni asking questions to the great Gerald Briscoe. I'm so grateful to be the voice for all your amazing questions and that all involve Vince shitting his pants for some reason. But they got amazing answers. So I was wrong. I thought, who's this creep? But listen, it's a great guy answering great questions, and I'm grateful to get to do this, and thank you for listening, and please follow Gerald Briscoe on the internet, social media. He has a new YouTube channel. He's going to be posting some stories on there, and check out Briscoe's Big Announcement, the greatest show on the internet, if you ask me or anyone smart. Listen, special appearances by Randy Orton and Mick Foley, and who knows who else could be in there.
Cast of plus others.
And a cast of plus others. and I'm Taylor Winston. I'm a comedian. I was runner-up on America's Got Talent. I have a comedy special on Amazon Prime. Look me up on the internet, Twitter, at Taylor Comedy and Instagram. And we're so excited to do the show. Say it again.
Don't forget your Cameo either.
Oh, check me out on Cameo. Listen, check out Gerald Briscoe on Cameo. These aren't ads, by the way. We're just telling you about ourselves. Gerald's on Cameo. I'm on Cameo. I get a lot of creepy messages that I reject for some reason. I had to be taken off the roast. Gerald, I told them to take me off the roast section. I was like, I can't do this. Are you on the roast section of Cameo, Gerald?
I hope not.
No, they asked me crazy shit, man.
And that was for Bruce Pritchard. That's probably the worst experience I ever had in my entire life. I don't know who wrote my shit, but somebody had the worst experience I ever had.
Oh, yeah. If you want to check me out, check out the roast of Bruce Pritchard. That's probably the best thing that you guys will appreciate that I did with Gerald. And as I said to Gerald, he was unroastable because he's never done anything wrong. There's nothing
You said I'm boring, basically.
You're boring. That's good, though.
let's leave it at that. And thank everybody out there for me, Taylor, that listen to this ad-free mailbag with Gerald Briscoe on Mondays. I guess it's Monday. But you can watch it any day of the week, I guess, can you?
Yeah, Gerald, now I'm trying to explain to Gerald. He's like, Gerald's like, hey, what time is this on at? I'm like, I don't know what time it's on. It's on any time.
Like a drive time DJ and get prime time, and they sit me on some ungodly time zone. So I'm complaining, I'm bitching, I'm calling Taylor the Hollywood social and big shot out there, Hollywood. Taylor, our time, that sucks. No, you don't understand. You sounded like Pat Patters when you're trying to explain. It's not that you're on all the time.
He called me complaining. He's on Monday. He's like, who's on Monday morning at 9? I want to be on primetime. I'm like, Gerald, it means they're releasing it in the morning so you can listen to it whenever you want. He's like, oh, is that good? I'm like, yes. He's like, okay. You're still okay. Over, okay?
Still over. Still hurts, man.
All right. Send Gerald your thoughts and prayers and well wishes for his neck. And thank you for listening and watching us, and we'll see you soon. Goodbye, everybody.